Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Teresa.
How are you?
Reporting live from the corner of my dining room table. Partly whispering because my child's asleep next to me.
I was going to say, reporting live actually from Slump City, USA, population 2, because you and I have been slumping so hard.
So bad. It's been terrible.
Co-mayors of Slump City.
Co-mayors of Slump City. Let's make a shirt.
Seriously,
no, it's
though.
It's been so bad. Yeah.
It's been rough out there. I don't know what's in the water.
So I want to, you know what? I don't know what's in the water, but I saw your TikTok and I was like, you know what's really funny? Like the whole month of October, I kind of wanted to like wrap up on more witchy reads. But like you said it kind of perfectly in terms of like the hockey romance. Like, yes, you have to do your research for a sport. You don't necessarily need to do research for witchy rom-coms or like spooky vibes. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to just put it out there to put something out there that can be classified as Gilmore Girl-esque for small town romance, maybe a bout of Halloween Town or Hocus Pocus, a sprinkle of practical magic, if you will. Yeah. Like, I know that's what we all want, but like, I don't know. I don't want to bash someone's work because maybe someone wrote something and they're like so proud of it. That's amazing for you.
Yeah, no, the thing is, it's not even about the books being bad. I think it's about them being marketed incorrectly.
Yes.
So when you go in expecting one thing and it turns out to be something else, you become disappointed. And like specifically for the hockey romance thing, if you market something heavily as a hockey romance, like honestly, just like leave the hockey part out of it unless you're going to like do the research in it, because it could be a good book, but when like you're like, oh, like, okay, so one of the books that I've read, Make It Sweet by Kristen Callahan, it was marketed to me and I think like on the internet as a hockey romance, and then I bought it and I read it, and like it wasn't that the book was bad, it was that this wasn't a hockey romance. So like the whole time I was like annoyed. Because he's like a retired hockey player, like turn like baker at like, I completely blocked it out of my memory. But I'm like, then it's not a hockey romance.
No.
And like, so I want to say something for anybody who saw my post, because I did mention the new Tessa Bailey book that's coming out in January or February, Dream Girl Drama, which is book 3 in her sports romance series. So Fangirl Down, and then the somewhere on my shelf, I don't remember the name, but that series. And I actually really, really did enjoy it. It's actually like, it's Tessa Bailey, you know, we always say this, even her bad is like not bad. I want to say though that, it's not very hockey romance-y. So okay. Like, it's a good Tessa Bailey book. It's insta love, but it's slow burn. And like the tension is tensioning.
I like it. I'm here
like,
for it.
Really good tension and like very good flirty banter. And he like they're like so obsessed with each other. And there's always like touching and flirting, but like they just like can't be together type of thing. And it's really good. If you're looking for like a hockey romance, I wouldn't say like that you have to read this, because what I will say about her, he's a hockey player, and I mean her, Tessa Bailey, but she didn't write the story. Like some people say it's a hockey romance and then they like try to write hockey and it's like you've never watched a game. Mm-hmm. She like, it's so like subplot, the hockey part, it's so subplot that it like you could take it out and it would still work. So I wouldn't call it a hockey romance. I think it's just like a romantic comedy, and he happens to play hockey.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I just wanted to clear that up because in the beginning, I thought it was going to be more hockey-ish. And then by the end, I was like, oh, when I'm talking about it, I'm not even going to mention the hockey aspect.
That's smart.
Yeah. Because like, I think that like the same thing with the witchy books. You could have a witchy book and it doesn't have to, like, just because a witch is part of it doesn't mean that it's witchy. I don't, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
no, I'm with you. Like, okay, so I read, let's talk Erin Sterling, her X-Hex, The Kiss Curse. I thought those were super cute. It made sense with the witch. They just owned like their stores, whatever. I thought that was perfect. I started to read The Wedding Witch. This actually could have been a book without a witchy aspect. I DNF'd this. I thought this was like corny to a different level of corny. And don't get me wrong, books one and two are corny also. But I think I was coming into this thinking more of like, she's the witch. She doesn't have any magic. At least at 50% into the book, she didn't have any magic. I don't know. Just like you can write a story and take the witch portion out of it and just be normal muggles, if you will. You don't need the whole witch. Or again, like, I know every girl in the U.S. loves practical magic. You don't, and Gilmore Girls. You don't need to pitch every single witchy book to me as, like, I don't, again, I'm not trying to speak ill. I'm upset. Who doesn't love Halloween Town? That was, like, the Disney, like, junior jam or Disney Channel jam when you were younger. So when I saw something get marketed as, like, Vampire Diaries meets Halloween Town, I was like, well, you have my interest. It was, like there's a town that has like Halloween stuff. Like it's like its own, it's where like all the beings, I guess, live. But like it didn't remind me one thing of the Halloween town. Like,
On that same, on that same kind of note, it's also like a lot of authors are like, oh, like this is going to be like how you were saying, like, oh, Practical Magic or like, oh, it's Gilmore Girls. Like how, okay, sorry. I'm not an author, so maybe I shouldn't have an opinion. But why don't we just, like, write original stories?
Yeah. I get it. Like, people want a comparison, maybe. But I also think it kind of, like, circles back to, like, OG things. Like, when we're talking to, like, Kate, like, I keep referencing Kate Bromberg. But, like, she said it perfectly. Like, you kind of, like, you're riding the wave of, like, what's in. But, like, we don't need to be so taking another thought and like, sure, if you're going to regurgitate something else, do it well, please. Right. But like you telling me that this was Vampire Diaries and Halloween Town-esque because they have werewolves, that's not enough reason to say that it's Vampire Diary-ish. There was nothing else. There was nothing there to prove also, it. So like, yeah, just say it's about werewolves and it has like a town that that's about like that holds all magical beings, and if you're a human you can live there as well.
Right,
that's it.
And again sorry, because this is not against anybody. A lot of authors do this, but like it's the same thing with like using Taylor Swift song titles as book titles. I don't know, I'm just like, I get it, like be inspired by something, but I also feel like I don't know.
But you know what? That's actually, you said it perfectly. Be inspired by something. I can listen to a Taylor Swift song, and if it sparks like a thought to start a story, yes, that has inspired you. So you can write that in your synopsis, inspired by.
Yeah. Like, oh, when I was listening to Death by a Thousand Cuts, there's a movie, Someone Great on Netflix. I was inspired by a Taylor Swift song. And then Taylor Swift, while watching it, it inspired her to write Death by a Thousand Cuts. That's okay. Great. I love the connection. I love that movie. Yeah. I love the songs, like whatever. But it's not like it was called Someone Great. It wasn't called, I forget like what song inspired. I think it was Clean maybe. Like it wasn't like, oh, like Clean or like All Too. I just feel like there's just an overabundance. And like, for instance, we love Tara DeWitt. We love Liz Tomforti. We love like Abby Jimenez, Elsie Silver, Devney Perry. I feel like they like some of my favorite authors aren't relying on what is just like popular at the moment.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Right. And I'm not saying that there aren't amazing books that are like an author was just like, oh, maybe this is really popular. I'm going to write it. And that like, I'm obsessed with it. But I just, I need more original stories because I feel like a lot of what I'm reading is the same thing over and over and over again, or it's just like not done well. Because
okay.
I will read anything. Right, like, if it's done well, I don't care if it's similar to something I've read before. But sometimes you can just like tell that it's just like the, like, it's just not done well.
Like, to us, Powerless was the exact, like, everyone loved Powerless. We are the oddballs out here. But it felt very repetitive, a lot of books that we have read. And sure, I think she has great writing, but I wish she almost took another idea and went in that direction. You could tell she's got talent. I just feel like the story was very repetitive of, like, what we've all read.
Yeah, we're talking about Powerless by, like, Lauren Roberts, by the way.
Yes. Yes, yeah. not Elsie Silver.
Yeah.
But yes, so I read two books. It was The Wedding Witch, and I think it's called Howl. And I literally was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. Like, it was so – and again, I'm no author. I can't string lines together, so I'm not trying to be an asshole here. But, like, I just –
an opinion we have.
I hit a slump. And Shan actually gave me, like, a really good recommendation. I started to read it, but it was, like, one of those books – where I feel like I'm going to need to pay attention a bit more to it.
Yeah.
It gives like podcasty vibes. Like, I feel like I'm being talked. I'm going to say talked at, like, it's not, but I feel like someone's like telling me a story. So I feel like I have to really focus in.
So
everybody in my family has killed someone. It's the longest title of life. It's intriguing, but it was like one of those, like, I've been picking it up at night and I was like, I'm too tired to compute. So, like, I put it down with the intentions of going back to it once maybe my children start sleeping a little bit more.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. But before we talk about what we have read, what? Okay, go.
Oh, no. I was going to say, no, go on.
But speaking of having to focus, you and I haven't touched a fantasy book in how long?
And it's been a while.
Yeah. I am reading two.
Okay.
So I asked for, you know, I'm going to laugh at myself when I say the title of this. Just give me a minute. So I requested, and so Julie Johnson has dipped her toes into the fantasy world. And I was excited. So I requested the Ark on Neck Alley. I laugh at myself though. It's called Wind Weaver. And I want to say Wind Weeble. I can't say it right. That's my own thing. That's not the title. It is very quest-like so far.
Okay.
It is so easy to follow. There is not, there hasn't been like a speck of world building yet. Like, you're getting names, a couple of names here and there.
Okay.
And a lot of like, well, what are they running from? Well, why doesn't he want to go to that mountain? Like, what's chasing? Like, who is, like, there's more of those questions,
mm-hmm.
which like I wasn't expecting. I thought, like, in my mind, like, oh, someone from romance is transitioning into fantasy. Maybe there's going to be like a lot of pitching and 20% of building again, just like, compute the story, but like I'm really enjoying how she does. And I feel like the Jennifer L. Armentrout book kind of does something similar. Like, you're not building a world right now, you're kind of just like figuring out what the heck is going on with these characters.
Yes,
that's exactly the Julie Johnson book, and I'm enjoying it.
So Katie and I get to interview JLA. We're interviewing her next week. The episode will drop on the 20th. And we're going to be discussing A Fall of Ruin and Wrath, which came out last year, but the paperback version of the book is coming out soon. Sorry, I can look it up, but I'm just like not going to bore you guys with me having to do that. So we're talking with her about everything of everything that I know we're probably going to, you know, ask her some questions about from Blood and Ash. But we're really excited about that. But yeah, I'm doing my read listen right now, and I like forgot a lot, but I remember I like looked at my review of it to be like, okay, like, wait, what did I think of it? And I gave it five stars. And in my review, I said that I was like, it was very like the world building was very easy to understand. And I know a lot of people complain about From Blood and Ash, like being like kind of difficult to, because like the Victor's name is Victor and then there's Malik and then there's Malik and there, whatever. There's a lot
it's
of like,
a lot.
And she did a really, really, really good job
I'm
with this one.
It's holding my interest. And I first, because I listened, I sampled it on audio. But again, I think because I haven't listened or done fantasy in so long, that I think I was expecting, you have to pay attention a bit more. So
yeah.
like no diss at all to like the narrators or the book so far. But like, if you want to dabble back into fantasy, maybe you haven't been there in a while, Right now, I think I'm like 20% into both, and I highly recommend as of right now. I'll talk to you a little bit. But like, as of right now, like I, and again, we're talking about, I don't get much sleep at night. My two children seem to just be up all night, and I can pay attention to Julie Johnson's book. And I like, it's captivating me. Like I want to stay up, and I don't feel like I have to like, be like, wait, what did she just wear? Or like, it's none of that.
This is getting me excited. Because really? We both want to read the new Carissa Broadbent book that's coming out, and we have the arcs, and I haven't been in a fantasy mood, so I'm hoping that, especially because this is like a reread, that like it'll get me, because I know I'm going to love this book, and I just need to be in the right time, like mind frame to like really dive in. Because I think the first 20% of any fantasy book is the hardest part.
Yes.
So once I don't want to.
20% you can.
So if I'm already feeling slumpy, I don't want to start a fantasy book. So I'm hoping I okay, let me just, I need to talk about a book that I fucking hated. And then because I really want to talk about a book that helped a little bit pull me out of a slump, and you and I can both discuss it.
Okay. Okay.
So I read Catch the Sun by Jennifer Hartman. This, okay. It has, I'm going to tell you the reviews. It's sitting at a 4.37. With almost 12,000 ratings, I gave it 2 stars.
And
it was so bad. But I want to read this quote from the book, because you're like, Teresa, if you hated this book, why didn't you DNF it? And the character, to quote her, "I've never stopped reading a book before, even when I didn't enjoy it. Nothing feels worse than an incomplete story. The character's just dangling in limbo. The plot points collapsing into unknowns." And I needed to know what these motherfuckers, where they were going to end up. Oh my God. Okay. It's a YA book, but there's like, they're fucking. And I was like, oh, that's a little weird, but okay.
That's a little NA to me, but okay.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, maybe 17 plus? I don't know. Anyway, so it's literally insane. So they're in high school. I've never in my life heard even adults speak the way that they were speaking to each other. I was like, no 18-year-olds are talking like this. So there's this girl. Her parents get divorced. Her dad takes her, and they go to Tennessee, and then her mom takes the brother, and like they stay like wherever they are. I don't fucking know. Anyway.
Nor do you
so
care.
She spends like an entire year like with her dad, and she like meets this boy. I think she's like 6 years old. She like meets this boy. They become best friends for the year. And then one day her dad just is like, get in the car and like drives her back to her mom's house and like dumps her. And she like never sees this boy again. And all like, she's like, oh, my brother Jonah, he's older. He's my best friend, blah, blah. The way that like she speaks about her relationship with her brother, or the way that her brother speaks to her, is like incestual. It's like borderline fucking creepy. Like, ew. I'm always going to protect you and love you. But I'm like, ew. This is not how siblings talk to each other. Fucking gross. Anyway, she ends up back in that, like, in that town. Like, it's her mom's hometown, technically. Her mom and dad, like, met in college, in, like, high school or whatever. Her and her mom end up having to move back to that town where her, like, childhood friend, like, lives. Because her brother, like, murders two people.
Okay.
And he's like, he gets like convicted of this murder. He says he didn't do it, but like all the evidence points to him, and he's on death row. So everyone in town is like so mean to her, because they're like, your brother's a fucking crazy murderer. And she ends up like becoming friends again with this guy. And his name's Max, her name's Ella. And like, there's like a million. What's he doing?
He's pushing out his stomach, walking past me like the Grinch.
Anyway, there's a million references to Winnie the Pooh. Like, her brother calls her Piglet, and she calls him Pooh. And then she's like, my brother and I used to stand on the bridge and throw sticks into the water, and we'd call it Pooh sticks. And, like, there's Winnie the Pooh references all, like, constantly. Fucking weird.
That's weird.
And then so she's like with Max, and they're like madly in love with each other, and they're supposed to go to this New Year's Eve party together. Oh, by the way, Max is a twin brother, identical twin brother. They're supposed to go to this New Year's Eve party together, but Max's dad is like sick and something happens and he like can't go to the party. So she goes with her best friend, and she runs into his brother there, and his brother like is all like drunk or whatever. He tries to like rape her. And then while she's like trying to get away from him, she like falls off a cliff.
What?
And then she's in a coma for 4 weeks.
How does this have 4.3 something stars?
Right, thank you. So then she wakes up from her coma and her mom is being like really weird. And like now she can't look at Max because when she sees Max, she's like thinks, you know, like sees his brother. Which again, okay.
Makes sense.
So whatever. So long story short, she like goes, like she's like home, whatever. And then they're like her and Max, just, like they're still like together, but then like they're not. And he like sneaks in her window and they like fuck. But then she's like, you need to leave. It's like crazy. And then all of a sudden, like one day, like her brother is just like at the house. And we're all like, what? How did that happen? Bro? Yeah. So, oh, he's like, oh, some new evidence like was uncovered. And like now they, you know, it wasn't me. They can't prove it was me. So they released me. I'm like, that's literally not how the system works. Also, it's a big secret. Nobody knows that he's been released. I'm like, if this notorious murderer, like this huge profile. Everywhere. Yeah, this would be everywhere. So he's like, he's just like living there and like hanging out around. And like nobody is like commenting that, oh, weren't you literally just on death row? So anyway, so then he overhears Ella, his sister, talking to Max's brother about like the incident. And somehow her brother, Jonah, doesn't know that Max has a twin. So he thinks that like her boyfriend tried to rape her. And she realizes this and she's like, oh my God, Jonah's going to go kill him. And like, he doesn't know that Max has a twin. So he like goes to go like kill Max, who he thinks is Max. Anyway, he ends up killing Max's twin brother. So now her brother, who just got off death row, murders her boyfriend's brother. And then because of all this, her boyfriend finds out, oh, your brother freaked out because my brother tried to rape you and pushed you off a cliff. And then like, they like still try to be together, but then they can't be together. So then like, she like, inherits
the worst book in the world.
Terrible. And then she inherits all this money from her grandma who died. And she So then she gives a bunch of it to Max so that he can like take care of his dad who's diagnosed with dementia. And then she just like leaves and like goes to like Minnesota because she like wants to like own a horse farm. And then 2 years pass. So now they're like 20, like 21, you know, because like this is something that 21-year-olds do. He like buys a house in Minnesota and like fixes it up and like buys her a horse. And like he moves his whole, apparently he started a business with his neighbor. Like he used to help his neighbor like do like home improvement stuff and like whatever. They start this like business, this construction business together. And he just like picks it up and moves it to Minnesota. And then he like fixes up this house and buys her a horse and they're like in love and like they get married. It was so bad.
I don't know why you've continued on.
And honestly. No, because I needed to know. I needed to know. I was like, there's no fucking way. And so I wrote my whole like review on it. And my friend Allie, you know Allie, like within like minutes comment, she's like, I wish I waited for you to finish this book before I decided to read it. Because she hated it too.
Did she? So, but like that's okay. So then I have questions. Like I get that everyone can have their own thoughts and opinions, but then how does 12 out of 12,000 reviews do you stick at a 4.3? Like that doesn't make sense to me.
Like I'm looking at like so many of my mutuals who have read it because you know how you can see like who you follow on Goodreads. Beautifully written story. I was so drawn into this one. I'm never going to recover from this. What a ride. What? Amazing. Heartbreaking. I'm like, this was a fucking bad book. Objectively, so this book weird. Was really bad.
That's so annoying.
Anyway, that was, you know, speaking of slumps. But Katie and I recently, Katie recommended it to me. And then I read it.
With a win here.
And I could have put it down.
It was good. It was so nostalgic.
The book is If It Makes You Happy by Julie Olivia. And my first sentence in my review is, this book was so fun and so nostalgic.
So it's set in the 90s in like a small town, Vermont. It was a small town, Vermont town. Small Vermont town.
Yeah.
It's set in the fall, but like you do go through like the holidays with it. I love like the mention of like Rugrats.
Tamagotchis.
Tamagotchis, like talking on like the phone, like a house phone, like
I knew it was 1997. I knew the book was set in 1997.
Yeah.
But it took me like a few chapters.
Yes.
Because I was like, why does the kid have a Tamagotchi? I'm like, and they were like reference things. And I'm like, where's her cell phone?
It takes you a minute to like go back.
It takes you a minute to go back.
Wait a minute. That's not what 1997 was all about.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Like, I think it had great depth, right? Like,
yeah.
Not only from just Shelley, but like also from Cliff, but also you get like the daughter going through like something real also with like a first boyfriend. And like, I don't know. It's like, that's really cool in itself. Obviously there's a dog, which like takes the cake. I don't know. Like, I think this was like such a cool, it was an original type of story.
It was. I really, 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 really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Michelle and Cliff, two normal names. So 90s. Every time she was describing like Cliff's outfits, I was like, so 90s. Every time they were describing Michelle's outfits, I was like, Rachel Green from Friends.
Yes.
Every single time. I was like, that's so Rachel. And is he crying?
Yeah, he's like starting to fuss a little bit. Dang kid.
He's dang. Gone. That dang kid. No, I was saying, I loved their relationship and how it like morphed from like strangers to friends,
yeah,
into the lover. Like I mean, everybody here knows I'm a big friends to lovers girl, but it was like very organic the way that she like crafted their relationship. And I was like intimidated at first because I was like, this book does definitely, it's a 500 page romance book,
but it didn't feel like it.
I read it literally in less than a day. Like it did not feel heavy or too long.
Some of the reviews were like, it is a little long. And I was like, was it? Like,
I didn't like it feel like that.
Especially because like it wasn't like we just had like one little tiny thing to work through. Like there was the ex-wife / mom to talk about. Like there was like Michelle's past, like the stuff with her sister, kind of figuring out her stuff with her mom, like making peace with that, getting to know the girls.
Mm-hmm.
What was the oldest daughter's name? I know Britt.
I want to say it's Emily.
I think you're right. Like going through Emily's stuff. And then like even Cliff, like kind of figuring out his place. Like I think it was the perfect length in my opinion.
Yeah, no, there was like so much. And like, yeah. She didn't make it seem drawn out or redundant. Like everything... We say this a lot. Everything had a point.
Yes.
Nothing was like gratuitous. Like there wasn't even like gratuitous like spice. Like it's a slow burn and it's great when it pays off. But like
it makes sense. Like it progressed the storyline. Like he hasn't been with someone since his ex-wife, which like they got divorced a while ago at that point.
2 years ago, I think.
Yeah. And her ex was a piece of poop. So yeah. I saw that I think it's book one. So I'm kind of hoping we get her sister.
I feel like we're going to get her sister and maybe his.
I hope so. Yeah. No, I think you're right. Because I remember like seeing something like something's going on with Carol and somebody. Is it Lars?
Lars.
Which like also what a 90s name.
And like there's just something I love. And it's reverse Grumpy Sunshine. And I love that. Because Cliff is like my type of man. But I love that Michelle is like very, like she's very career driven. She's very like organized and sometimes like she comes off cold, but like she's not. She's like a very like loving person and she really like will do anything for the people that she cares about. But she's just like a little like less quick to trust. And I love that kind of female main character, like who has to kind of break her walls down a little bit, but is also just very unapologetically herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she didn't – sometimes it's, like, annoying. It's like, okay, like, just get over it already. And I feel like she did with Cliff. Like, she couldn't help but be open with him.
Yeah.
And I just, like –
she kept referencing him as, like, her best friend, which is cute.
I just – I loved them so much. And I just – the book brought me so much joy.
Same. I was like, this has brought me – I'm actually going to put a TikTok up for, like, the first time in, like, a million days – about like how it brought me back to life.
it really, I just was like loving reading it. So I am reading right now, currently, Sunlight by Devney Perry, which we'll talk about next week. So I started that today. That's Haven River Ranch Book 2. And I know it's a surprise pregnancy. I'm mm-hmm. calling them surprises now, not unplanned. I'm like literally 10% and I have nothing to say about it yet. So that's where I'm at. But I did actually get approved for a NetGalley arc.
Which one?
Book 2 in the Dishonestly Yours.
Did you? I was going to ask for it, but I was like, I feel like I just have like so much to read right now. I don't want to like overtax myself.
I wasn't going to ask for it because the book doesn't come out until April. So I know I'm going to read it and then I'm going to have to wait for it to come out. And then I'm going to have to wait even longer for book 3, but I couldn't help myself. And so I just submitted and then I got the email and I was like, I'm excited, but I'm also like, fuck, because now I'm going to have to wait so fucking long for book 3, but I have to read it. Like, I'm like, I want to get through. Because I, again.
Tell me how it is, because then maybe if you really do like it by that point, maybe I'll be past everything and I'll request it also.
And I know I'm going to love it. And I'm needing books that are going to like unslump That's me. True. And I feel like I'm getting there. Also, sorry about the Julia Olivia really quick. I've had a book. I don't know which PR company sent it to me. Somebody sent me one of her books like over a year ago. Which book is it? And I had it. I actually had it on my donate pile, and I took it off after I read "If It Makes You Happy."
Yeah, just like, hold on. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, Off the Hook, which came out October 26, 2023. I got it last year. I don't know who sent it, and I like had it on my TBR cart. And then the other day, I was like going through things that I've had forever that were sent to me that I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever read them. And then I just took it. I put it back on my shelf because I'm like, now I know that I like her shit, so now I want to read it.
I don't blame you.
So I'll keep you posted.
Keep me posted and keep you posted on the Richie sister one. Cause maybe I will request it. I am hopeful cause I got approved for the, Out of the Woods arc by Hannah Boehm Young, which I'm very excited about. Will not be reading it anytime soon, but hopefully in like the nearest future.
Keep me posted because it's, a second chance, like marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm intrigued. And that's literally all I've read. I did Sunlight because we have a heavy month with, books and interviews. I want to make sure I was like getting stuff done.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me quickly listen to Sunlight. I did it with audio. We could talk about that next week. And I started the Jennifer L. Almondrop book. So
perfect. So next week we have, like we said, Sunlight by Devney Perry. The 20th, we are dropping the JLA interview. And then the 27th, we are doing just a nice little spilling the tea episode, but we are interviewing author Julianne this month. So that should be dropping in early December because I believe her book comes out at the end of the month.
Yes. I wanted to say November 26th, but I think I'm wrong.
I know. I think you're right. I think that's why it's the 26th. Yeah. So we're going to, instead of dropping it on that Wednesday, cause like that, who's going to have time to read it in a day, we're going to drop it the following week. So like that'll be the first week. The book is From Air. It's her Wildfire book 1. So we'll see.
We haven't gotten it yet, right?
No, I actually received it in the mail today.
Mm.
But sometimes Valentine PR just sends me random books. So I don't know if we should. So I don't know if we're both getting them or if that was just like a, they just sent me something and then we're going to get the e-arcs.
Totally fine either way. Okay, cool. I'll make sure to like keep an eye out and then we'll follow up if need be.
Yeah, perfect. So that's all we have for you guys today. I also did read book 2 in the Beartown series.
Oh, did you?
I did. And I really think that everybody should check it out. That's all I'm going to say. Book 2 like really hurt my soul to read. Like it was a very like, it was a bad book in like the emotion. No part of it, but it's just so good.
Approved.
Well, no, I think you would like it. It's not like, there's not like dying dogs or there's just like some sad parts. And everybody is in like turmoil from the previous book still. So like it's, I need to read the third because like I believe there's a happy ending.
Okay. So you need to work for it.
I want to read that by the end of the year. So I'll report back. But that's definitely all I have for you guys.
Teresa's done. She means
I'm
it.
Officially done.
I've got nothing else. October was a very slow month for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good then. Whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. We'll see what happens this month. Our fingers are crossed.
You can send us out.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.